Do you enjoy singing worship songs and praising? Yes, I do, certainly. And I want to ask this morning, have you got a special song of praise? Something that's special for you? I mean, we sing these things, but we sing them together, and there's something that unites us. But perhaps you have got a special song yourself. Now, one of the things I remember about my mother was that she was always singing. Now, she didn't sing songs of praise. She loved the old musicals. So I don't know if you know things like, West Side Story or Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. But I remember always in the kitchen, she would be doing the washing up or she would be cooking and she would be singing at the same time. And I think for my mother, she would have just loved life to be a musical. She would have loved it if she could go shopping and people would suddenly start singing together and she would be able to join in. That was a dream, I think, that she had. And when we look in the Bible, we see that there have been times when people have no longer been able to contain themselves. And they've just burst into song because of the wonderful things that God is doing. One of those times, going well back into the Old Testament, in 1 Samuel and chapter 2, there was a lady called Hannah. She was unable to have children. She was praying for a child. And the Lord gave her a child. And she dedicated the child back to God. His name was Samuel. And she went to the temple to dedicate him. And when she dedicated him, she just burst into song. And it's written there for us to read. And when we read it, I mean, you know the Old Testament language. Sometimes it's difficult to really feel that it's a song and something very poetic. But it is. She was singing her praises to God. And since we're looking at Christmas and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, this morning I want to have a look at Mary's song. The angel had spoken to Mary and announced that the awaited Messiah was going to be born through her. She asked, how can that be? I haven't known a man. God is mighty. God is all-powerful. She went to visit her cousin, Elizabeth, and she was so full, she started singing. So let's see what she sang. So if you've got your Bibles with you, turn to Luke and chapter 1, and I'll read from verse 39 to verse 55. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby, that was John the Baptist, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And then Mary said, or Mary sang, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers. Normally, you're aware that when I'm preaching, I have a whole series of different slides. I'm breaking a record today. I've got a total of 2 slides. So let's see. First of all, when Mary sang this song, where did the words come from? Where did the thoughts come from? Of course, it's quite possible that the Holy Spirit just gave the words to her then. But what is interesting is when you read Hannah's song, when she presented Samuel at the temple, and when you read Mary's song, they're remarkably similar. The same thoughts are there. Some of the same words are there. When you look at some of the Psalms, again, you see the words repeated in Mary's song. So it would seem that Mary, this young girl from the hill town of Nazareth, that she had been influenced by Scripture. She knew the Bible. Now, it's certainly not common for girls in that sort of culture and that situation to even be able to read. But they were able to go to the synagogue where God's word was being read. In fact, if you go to Nazareth today, you can actually see the well where Mary would have gone to draw water for the family. It's the only place in Nazareth where you can get water. So it's kind of obvious it has to be the place where Mary would be drawing water from. And from where the well is in the centre of old Nazareth today, if you go up the hill a little bit, that's where the old synagogue used to be. And you might remember from the Gospels, there was one time when Jesus had sat down and read from Isaiah, and then when he started speaking about who he was and that he had come to fulfill what was written in the words of Isaiah, the people got angry and wanted to actually throw him off the cliffside there. There's like a small, it's not very high, but there is a place where they would be able to throw him very near where the synagogue used to be. But Mary, very likely, had heard the song of Hannah. Mary, very likely, had been listening and joining in with the Psalms. And Mary's heart was full. She was there with Elizabeth. Elizabeth had spoken this blessing over her, and Mary couldn't contain the words anymore. And it came out of her as song, as a beautiful song that we can read today. When we immerse ourselves in God's word, it's there for the Holy Spirit to stir within us and to bring out. When we pray, let the Holy Spirit bring out Scripture, bring out His word in our prayers. When we praise, may God stir the words that we have read in the Bible so that we're able to bring them back to the Lord as a song of praise. Oh, wouldn't it be lovely if, when we're at work or when we're out doing things, that the Holy Spirit just stirs us up and we can't stop ourselves from singing God's praises. Okay, so Rene, when we go to Papa Antonio. So, Mary then, there was the influence of Scripture. It was there within her and she was drawing upon this as the basis for the song. Perhaps it wasn't even conscious. Perhaps it was just there that the words and the memories that she had from God's word were just being put together and coming out as a beautiful song of praise. So, Mary's song. Have we got a song? Have we got the scripture, the Bible within us, in our hearts and in our minds, that we're able to bring a song of praise to our God? And here, there's the desire to glorify, magnify the Lord. I just love that the first words that she comes up with. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Saviour. Yeah, she's not even saying, I glorify the Lord. She's saying, my soul within me. I'm excited. My soul, my spirit within me can't stop praising. I've got to get it out. It's almost like an explosion of praise. Yeah, to God is what she's experiencing. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. And then Mary is thinking about herself. Now, of course, we just don't know how old Mary was at this time. So most Bible scholars assume that she would have been a young teenager, because that would be sort of fairly typical at that time and in that culture. She wasn't yet married, and girls married very early at that time. But it doesn't seem as though she was anyone special in society. It doesn't seem as though she came from a very privileged background, at least in the world's eyes. Of course, at that time, Nazareth, like the rest of Judea, was under the control of the Romans. In fact, very nearby Nazareth was a large Greek city, actually. Nazareth was where the Jewish people were, and then the Greek speakers were very nearby. So, yeah, it's assumed that perhaps Joseph, as a carpenter, and doing construction work, perhaps, with wood, would have done a lot of the work in the neighbouring city. But I doubt if people would have noticed Mary as anyone special. If you had been there at the well, and I say that the well is there today, there's a Greek Orthodox church next to it. If you were to go there 2,000 years ago, and a girl had come with the water jars to draw water from the well to take back to the house, I doubt if any one of us would have said, this girl is the one who is going to bear the Saviour of the world. This girl is the one through whom the promises given to Abraham are going to be fulfilled in a baby. She was nobody in the world's eyes, but she was everything in God's eyes. And what about you? You might not be anyone in the world's eyes. People might not look at you and think, this is a child of God. This is someone who's believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit is dwelling in. They might not realize that you are special. So special because of God's work in you and through you. And Mary, as part of her song, she realized that God had noticed her. Despite her humble state, she said, he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. So maybe we do have a song to sing. Because, we know what God's word is saying within us. We have God's word in our hearts and in our minds. We have a desire to glorify and magnify the Lord. And we are noticed by God. Do you think that it's just coincidence that you believe in Jesus? Or do you think that it's just because you were born into the right family that you know Jesus? No. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's because God has had his hand on you. It's because God has taken hold of you and has opened your spiritual eyes to be able to understand it. You see, it says in the Bible that Satan has blinded the eyes of unbelievers. They can't see. You can argue all you like, but if that veil is over their eyes, they cannot understand. It needs God's work to take that veil away. Every believer is a miracle. Every believer is a miracle of God, a child of God, and noticed by God. Isn't it wonderful? Yeah. There's a song that Graham Kendrick wrote years ago. I think it's Graham Kendrick. I'm special because God has loved me. So it's, I think it was more for children, wasn't it? But it's a simple song, and yet it's so true, because we can get so crushed by the things of this world and what's happening around us, and we can forget who we are in Christ Jesus. And it's good to remember that despite all our failings, despite the fact that we've got sins to confess and repent of, and that we're always on the journey, you and I are special. We're special because God has loved us and he gave his Son for us, our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the next part of Mary's song is about God. So here, she's been thinking a bit about herself, about her desire to magnify the Lord. And she's been thinking also about how God has noticed her. Even though she's nobody in the world's eyes, God has noticed her. And then she wants to praise God's character. And she repeats these three attributes of who God is. First of all, that God is mighty. So she sings, "For the Mighty One has done great things for me. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm." He is mighty. He is powerful. He can do it. He's powerful to save. He's mighty to save. He can do it. He has done it through Jesus Christ. If you're facing problems today and challenges in your life, look to God. He is mighty. He can do it. Earlier this week, a friend of mine in Gaza called me and showed me a picture of his house had been totally destroyed by a bomb. Not only that, but his mother-in-law's house, his brother-in-law's house, and his sister-in-law's house. The four houses were completely wrecked, completely damaged. And I didn't know what to say. Words failed me. In the end, I just said, "I'm so sorry." I thought that anything else was just going to be not enough for the situation, for the pain that they're experiencing as a family. And in a situation like that, what do people need to know? They need to know that God is mighty. They need to know that whatever the situation is, however dark the valley is, however difficult the problems are, God is mighty. God is almighty. God is sovereign. He is upon the throne. His promises are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. He is mighty to perform everything that he has said he will do. And Mary knows this. Mary, the virgin, is going to have a baby. How? God is mighty. Also, he is holy. Holy is his name, she sings. Holy is his name. God's holiness is something to be respected, something to be feared, because there's no compromising with God. There is no shadow in the light of God. He is holy. He is separate. And God cannot tolerate sin or rebellion. It's impossible. It's like light and darkness. You can't have them together. They do not exist together. together. So how can it possibly be that people like us can enter into the holy presence of God? In fact, the Old Testament, really from beginning to end, is teaching us about the holiness of God and what it means to enter into his presence. When you have a look at the temple and the different stages towards the most holy place, it's like there's an obstacle all the way. You cannot get into God's presence if you are not holy. You have to be holy. The priests, in fact, they had written on their foreheads, "Holy to the Lord." Holiness separates sinners from God. And there was only one way for that gap between God's holiness and sin to be bridged. And that's, of course, through Jesus, that the holy Lamb of God was given up for us, that we might be forgiven, and that he took our sins upon himself, that we might be a holy nation. We are counted holy. We are able to enter into the presence of a holy God through the blood of Jesus. No other way, only through the blood of Jesus. And of course, that just shows that God is merciful. So Mary realizes that if God is holy, then for us to have a relationship, he needs to be merciful. He needs to reach out to us in mercy and in grace. Do you remember in the Old Testament, the Esther as the queen, and the Jewish people in the Persian Empire at that time were in great danger? They were going to be wiped out. There was going to be a genocide. And Esther's uncle, is almost like a foster father to her, had realized that this was going to happen. And he went to Esther and he said, "You're the queen. Do something about this. Approach the king." And she said, "If I'm not summoned, if I'm not called to the king, I can be killed." It was an incredible risk to enter into the king's presence. The only way that she would be safe would be if the king extended a scepter, a stick that showed his authority as king, towards her. After fasting and prayer, Esther went into the presence of the king, and he was merciful. He extended the scepter and she took hold of it. God the Father has extended the scepter to us in Jesus Christ, and we take hold of Jesus by faith. And we know his mercy. We know his safety, even in the presence of such holiness and glory. And then, Mary, she praises God's actions in the world. And very similar to Hannah's song, as I've said at this point. When you compare the two, there are lots of parallel verses in what Mary says about, God, feeding the hungry and, putting down the proud and raising up the humble. See, when you look at the world as it is today, I don't know if you follow the news. The news is usually quite depressing. There's a lot of terrible things going on around us. The world's ways are not God's ways. And when God works in the world, he turns things around. Now, when I was writing the message for today, I was thinking, he turns it upside down. There is a... In the New Testament, the disciples at one point, they're accused of turning the world upside down through the preaching, through the gospel. But no, it's not turning the world upside down. It's turning an upside down world the right way up, isn't it? It's making things right how they should be. And this is what Mary realizes and what she sings about. In the midst of Nazareth, no, sorry, she wasn't in Nazareth at the time, she was visiting Elizabeth. But in the midst of that situation that she was in, where the Romans were in control, where there was so much insecurity, nobody knew what was going to happen the next day, but she realized that God was working and that God was turning things around. And she sings, "He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." God is turning this world around. The kingdom is coming. God's kingdom is coming. He is righting things. He is just. He is righteous. And praise God, yeah, we are part of this. We are part of God's story by his grace and mercy. So when we're reading the news, keep in mind God is mighty and that God is turning things around. Things can change very quickly indeed, in fact. And we need to be prayerfully alert of what God is doing in our generation and be in touch with how the Holy Spirit is leading us to pray. So, my question is then, have we got a song to sing? Mary had a song. She used the words of God that she knew, put together by the Holy Spirit, and expressed as a beautiful song of praise. She has this desire to glorify and magnify the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord. My soul glorifies the Lord. She realized God had noticed her. She was special, even as we are. Praising God's character. He is mighty, holy, and praise God, merciful. And his actions. God is at work today, and he is righting a very chaotic world. Amen.